Welcome, everybody. Welcome to ShareEnjoyment.com. Tonight's share is dedicated Le'il Nishmas Lina Bas Reb Eliyahu and Reb Mordechai Ben Reb Reuven. So tonight's share is dedicated in memory of Mordechai Tupshtin and his wife Lina. And they marked the yahrzeit of my dear friend for his parents. So I wanted to dedicate the next few minutes in their memory. I just wanted to discuss a little bit about them. Tonight's really a two-pronged Dvar Torah. One, dedicated to the Tupshtin family. And secondly, just, you know, more broadly speaking about the Parsha itself. The concept in the beginning of the Parsha begins with the Nusnu, that we all have to give Machzis HaShekel. And this gives us the understanding that the Nusnu is a palindrome, as they say, where the same letters could be spelled backwards as well as forwards in order to demonstrate that those that give to others their time, their energy, their resources, it all comes back to them. They never lose anything. So the concept over here is that some people think that when they give tzedakah, they lose the money that could be invested in a better mutual fund, and that's really secular. And it's foreign to our concept of giving to help to others in need. And these two people demonstrated not only giving to the community, of course, but giving to their family, their friends, everybody who was near them, especially their children, and instilling a love of Yiddishkeit that permeates still today and many generations to come. But it's really chus avos that they were zochet to have beautiful people that guided them in very difficult and challenging times in Odessa, and Baruch Hashem today, beautiful families that continue to flourish in our tri-state area. So just wanted to express karas hatov to the Tupshtin family. Before I transition over, I just also wanted to focus on the Grah for a second that talks about the word machzis. We all know that when someone that we say tzedakah tatzim imavas, and when someone gives charity, that it comes back to them, right? And it also saves a person from death. The word machzis is unusual because if you take it and you make it into, let's say, a triangle, you would spread out the letters, but mem ches tzadi yud tuf, and if you put the tzadi in the middle, you'll see that the letter tzadi is surrounded by ches and yud, which is chayim, and the last letters are mem and tuf, which is mes. So when someone gives tzedakah, they draw closer together the letters of chayim, which is ches and yud, and they push away death, they push away the mes. And I think that's also something very beautiful to dovetail into the word benasnu, that when you give, it comes back to you in a form of chiyah, and pushes away Misa. Oftentimes, and I think about this a lot about charity, on a personal note, when someone gives and helps out others, they don't realize how they're saving someone else from what they feel might be Misa. But in that zchus of giving help to others, that should hopefully enable all of us to have a long life with Arichas Yamim V'Shanim Tovim. And so my dedication tonight and for the rest of this week and for next week's share as well is in memory and as a kibbutz achron to Lina Bas Reb Eliyahu and Mordechai Ben Reb Reuven. And so the next topic of the Parsha, again, the rest of the share is dedicated to them as well. We'll focus on the anger that Moshe Rabbeinu experienced when he broke the Luchos. And we all know that we're not allowed to get angry. Everyone tells us when we're young, we should always control ourselves. And Chazal are very, very clear about this. Chazal tell us that one who gets angry is as though he is, you know, practicing idolatry. How is that so? Because they only see their own opinion. And secondly, if somebody, you know, gets angry, then, you know, if he's wise, his wisdom deserts him. And if he's a prophet, then his prophecy leaves him. That's the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav, Amud Beis. And the life of an irascible person, says the Gemara in Nedarim, on Daf Chaf Beis, Amud Aleph, is not really a life because it could destroy his house and it could lead to ill effects. But Moshe got angry. So how do we understand anger? And is there a qualifier that we can use or reference where anger might be something that could be used, but under what circumstances? How do we go about it? And the Rambam gives us the answer. First, the Rambam tells us that even when we are provoked, we should not respond in an angry way. Very hard to do. My father, Roshon, would always give me the analogy when we would walk to shul together, that if when a dog barks, you don't bark back, meaning you just keep on walking. So, you know, there are times when a person might feel provoked, but the concept is you just keep on moving forward. And the second level is that if you are provoked and you do experience or you do express anger, how should you be managing this? And the answer is, as the Rambam, that a person should appear angry, but deep down inside, he should really love the other person. Meaning that the only reason why I'm getting angry is only for a shock effect. It's not because I lost control of myself. Because if a person goes around the streets and he's screaming and yelling, nobody will pay attention to him. But if a person occasionally raises his voice, then everybody wants to pay attention to hear what does he have to say and Why is he saying it that way versus, you know, the rather timid approach? So now that he's expressing a unique identifier and a certain character trait, then everyone takes notice and they want to learn or hear what he has to say. And so deep down inside, the person really loves the other person. And we see this evidenced by Moshe. In the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was so shocked by the actions of the Jewish people. Mind you, there's a very beautiful medrash I'll just share with you very quickly, that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go down, go down and see your nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu does not respond in a negative way. And even when Yeshua tells him, he has to see it for himself. And only then does he break the luchos. The question is, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you something, why don't you react? Why do you have to wait so long to react? And the answer is, that the medrash brings down, that even if the greatest Rosh Hashiva tells you Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to believe it. You're not allowed to believe it. Moshe Rabbeinu heard something from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he refused to accept that that's what exactly was happening until he saw it with his own eyes. So just to go and explain how far and how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. And even soon afterward, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, is there pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. And he's saying all the things, right? All these things that we say on a fast day, right? Why, Hashem, did you take us out of Egypt? The nations of the world would say that you took us out of Egypt to kill us in the desert. Is that what you want the nations of the world to say? I mean, think about Moshe Rabbeinu's appeal to the Supreme Court of Justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And Lami Yechraba Abtecha, why are you getting so upset? And Moshe Rabbeinu invokes a level of tefillos that was unparalleled up until that time. And this goes to really hone in on the message of Moshe Rabbeinu and the relationship to Noach. Chazal bring down that Moshe was the Gilgal of Noach, because when Noach was told the same thing in this week's parsha, as Moshe was told, Kimosius Brisi Itach, and I will set aside and I will establish a new covenant with you, meaning I will destroy the entire world and make you, Noach, the leader of the world, meaning that all of us will descend from Shem, Ham, and Yafes, which is what we do, which is where we come from. Moshe Rabbeinu was offered the same, and Moshe Rabbeinu turns it down, and he says, no, I'm not going to be quiet. And if you're going to go ahead with this, then erase me from your holy book. Says the Halakha Kedusha Slavi, the Rav from Berdichev, Ukraine, again, as a schus to the Vatavshin family that also come from the country of Ukraine, that the word Mecheni is really the letters Mei Noach. Remember the Mei Noach. Remember that promise. You will never destroy the world. Says the Maharsha on the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kupta Zayin Amud Aleph, where the nations of the world come to Bilam HaRasha and they ask him, Makol Sheshamata, what is this that we're hearing? And it was about Kabbalah Satorah. Is it that the world is going to be destroyed through water? Hashem Lamabu Yashav, Hashem restored the waters to their proper state. Says the Maharsha, yes, the world may be comprised 75% of water. And yes, there are certain countries that are more prone to damage by water, like Japan and other countries in the Far East. However, the world itself will never be consumed again by water, like during the days of the Great Deluge, during the times of Noah. However, there will be, again, countries that will face certain levels of unusual activity when it comes to water. But Bilam was reminding the people that the world is not going to be destroyed with water. Hashem Lamal B'Yashav, Vayeshav Hashem Melech Yolam. Right, so Hashem has restored everything to its proper place. So what is it that's happening? So he says that there's a special Torah that's been hidden for so many generations, 974 generations, and now it's time for it to be revealed to the rest of the world. It's the 26th generation since Briyasa Olam, which is the Gematria Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and now Akash Baruch is bringing the Torah into the world. And whereas we find that Noah did not say anything to appeal to Akash Baruch Hu, he did cry afterward. And Hashem says, if you only would have cried before, I never would have destroyed the world. What was Hashem saying? So maybe I could suggest in a humble way that, and I think this is something that maybe my Rebbe may have said many years ago, and I can't recall, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires us to have a relationship with Him. And oftentimes we might feel uncomfortable speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but today actually it's easy, because you could walk around with an ear pod in your ears, and everyone will think you're on the phone, and meanwhile you're talking to Hashem. And there's nothing unusual about that, and nothing strange. Maybe 25 years ago it was unusual before they developed AirPods. But nowadays, you know, it's easy. But all kidding aside, Noach was crying over the people that he just didn't even know, but they're no longer here with him. And so Moshe Rabbeinu now comes as the Gilgal, and he says, Noach, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember the Mei Noach, the Mecheni Namisipach HaShaka Savta, really means there's something far deeper than just erasing me from your holy book. You know, there's something more here. You know, you promised you would never do this again. It's not that you can't do it. You could do anything, but I'm asking you to remember the promise. promise of Haftacha. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes into a complete tefillah that was unparalleled and never heard before. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachim, V'chamim, Yugim, Omidos, Erech, Apayim, V'chesed, V'emes, V'chesed, L'alos, V'nosei, Avon, V'feshe, V'chata, V'nakei, V'salachta, L'avonenu, V'chatzinu, V'chatanu, Rosh Baruch Hu says, V'yom Hashem, Salachti, Kivarecha. I forgive because you asked for it. And I think that is the understanding that we have to walk away with. Oftentimes, a person may say, how will I go about tomorrow if today I did this and this Avera? The answer should be, Avera is the Lashon Avar, Lashon in the past. A Jew is never focused on the past. A Jew holds to the past, meaning the Mesoros Avasinu B'Yadenu. But in terms of his actions, he is Moshe V'Holach. He's constantly moving forward. He's trying to grab the next opportunity to do Torah and Mitzvos and Gemilas Chasadim. As the Gemara says, we are Rachmanim by Shanim and Gomrei Chasadim. In the Gemara in Yevamos, I believe, Afayin Zion, where Klal Yisrael is described. So we walk away with three understandings from tonight's shiur. Number one, when it comes to tzedakah v'nasnu, it all comes back to benefit us. How does it come back? Nobody knows. It could be as chosavos, it could be as tremendous chosrak children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We'll never, ever know. The second thing is that we have the concept of maxis ha-shekel, that the five letters of maxis, mem, ches, tzadi, yud, tuf, that the tzadi in the middle draws closer to the chai, which is the ches and the yud, which is life, and pushes away nisa. Number three, we talked about anger, and that oftentimes people do get angry. But if someone does get angry, they should always have love in their voice deep down and say, I'm only getting angry in order to demonstrate to you that I never act this way. And now that I am, you should pay close attention, because the shock effect alone should not lead to a more tense situation. It should really temper the situation, so to speak, and that going forward, a person should never have to resort to any form of anger. And number four, the concept that we're discussing here is the ability for each of us to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but really in our own voice, in our own way. Moshe Rabbeinu appealed to Hashem on high. Hashem says, Vayom Hashem Salachti Kivarecha. Hashem desires to have relationship with us. Make HaKadosh Baruch Hu comfortable in your house by opening it up to others and making it a place of Makom Torah, of learning, and that a place where you're Machnes Orchem, where you welcome guests, and that you provide for them, and that you give them something to eat and make them feel comfortable, and that you walk them out after they visited your home, and that you instill in them a sense of pride that it's beautiful to be a Jew, and that it's wonderful to be a Jew, because we have such beautiful mitzvot and we have such beautiful commandments that are not onerous and difficult to observe, but they are beautiful when they are practiced, and especially when they're done with a smile. And I think that's a tremendous chus for the Tavshin family, because that's all we see when we look at them, is that they always had a smile. So we should be gebenched, and we should be zochet to have a richas yamim v'shamim tovim through all of the gemilas chasadim that we do, both, you know, openly as well as in private, in very discreet ways, and that we should internalize the messaging of this week's parsha for the betterment of ourselves and not focus on the negative. But even if we did focus on the negative act, and the specific one that I highlighted tonight of anger, we should always remember to be happy internally, so that when we deliver that message, it's coming from the heart. As they say, Devar mayotzim min alev nechnasim min alev, you know, matters that emanate from the heart reach into the heart of the other. And in that schus, in that merit, we should be zochet, we should merit that we should have only good things coming toward us and for our children, grandchildren, and many, many years to come. This is Mordechai Plotzker in Elizabeth, New Jersey, wishing you all the best, and have a wonderful night and a successful week.